the physical becomes vital, vital becomes mental, the physical becomes vitalized physical, and the vital ultimately becomes mentalized vital, and the mental begins to become spiritual, then the spiritual will become vitalized, mentalized, the physicalized. In every way, the ultimate perfection will come when all the four principles, physical, vital, mental, spiritual, are so developed, so perfectly harmonized, that the whole edifice can stand without the necessity of a collapse. Now, if you examine from this point of view, we can now say that there has been a real progress in mankind. So to conclude, I'll give you again one passage from Sri Aurobindo.
Can I ask you one question?
Yes.
You spoke about the Renaissance period. The Renaissance period was really a revival of the interest in classical literature, which was pre-Christian. And that led to, this curiosity led to a certain amount of progress in the field of art, literature, architecture, and everything, which is established. Today in India, are we at that threshold when we are actually going back to our roots, studying this literature, and perhaps it is more widespread now because there is greater education. And very slowly we are seeing amongst not just us but a variety of people appealing to whatever kind of mind, depending on the people they go to. Do you see that happening in India? Do you see that we have reached that threshold when we are also, could perhaps be termed as a renaissance, because we have that interest in our classes?
Well, you are quite right. In fact, since 19th century, we have entered into, in India, we have entered into that field, into that age of renaissance. It is still not fructified because of various reasons.
Right.
But if you look into the developments of India, between the 19th and early 20th century, we had already made big inroads into the Renaissance of India. In 1914 to 1921, Sri Aurobindo wrote a book called India's Renaissance, Indian Renaissance, Renaissance in India. So that is a book which I would like every Indian to read, because it shows the awakening of India and how India can become reborn. Unfortunately, there was a period when again we have lost the track. And after 50 years of independence, we again realize that we have lost something. And all over India, at least the thinking human beings of India, are beginning to search as to where we got lost. That's why this revival at present, there is so much of appetite arising in India to understand, to go back. And Sri Aurobindo says that there are three tasks that modern India has to accomplish. First is to recover the ancient spiritual knowledge, particularly therefore of the Veda, Upanishads and the Gita. Why Gita is gripping us today? Because we find that there is something which answers our questions of today. Otherwise, we won't read this book. These three great works of India, you might say, are immortal. Something that is supreme in spirituality, and something that has a possibility of widening, of subtilizing, of deepening, is all present in the Veda, Upanishads and the Gita. Even that is not enough, according to Sri Aurobindo. Even if you recover this, this is only the first step. The second step will be that you allow this knowledge to spread in all the modern subjects which are now coming upon us. It is not enough that now India will remain India as it is. The whole world is now at our gates, and they are being poured upon us whether we like it or not. Therefore, with the strength of this knowledge, we should enter into the immense field of inquiry which is widespread all over the world. Assimilate the waters of this knowledge which are coming upon us, But these waters have to be purified, irrigated, refined, recovered, so that this knowledge irrigates this new knowledge which is coming from outside. It will be a real synthesis of the old and the new. And the new thing that will come about will be not merely Veda, Upanishad and the Gita. It will be even much greater knowledge. Such a great knowledge that the third task Sri Aurobindo says is that we have to change the whole society, social institutions, political institutions, economic institutions, in such a way that the dream of mankind in the field of equality, liberty, fraternity, which can be realized only on the spiritual foundation, which India possesses, and by development of the spirituality, with that new spirituality, you'll be able to realize those three ideals first in India. Because we have a ready possibility. And that is why Sri Aurobindo says the destiny of India is very great. Because we have all this possibility, we are ready to assimilate, we are assimilating today. Even the language that we are speaking is an assimilated language. And if you can recover this knowledge and develop fully, then those ideals which can't be realized there because they don't have this knowledge, although there also now there is an opening. The West is turning to the East. When Vivekananda went to Chicago and gave his powerful message, since that time the West is awakened and it is turning to the East. But our own response is much greater, because even if they turn to India today, today's India is no example for the West. India will be an example if we can do all this work and show how truly liberty, equality and fraternity can be realized by the alchemy of spiritual knowledge. Then we shall have fulfilled ourselves and we shall have served the world truly. Now this is the message of Sri Aurobindo, that these three tasks we have to do. Now we are in the process of that great task. To the extent to which we become aware of this task and fulfill it through ourselves and through our children and the next generation, if we can do this task, then we shall be able to go to that period where perhaps the collapse may not happen. So let us read this particular passage. Oh, sir, this is 741 I gave you?
749,
sorry. 749. Sorry, I...
didn't get the earlier one.
Now, from the top, the fifth line, you can see, it cannot truly be said. Mm. Have you got that sentence?
Mm-hmm.
Let us read from there. It cannot truly be said that there has been no such thing as human progress since man's appearance or even in his recent ascertainable history. For however great the ancients, however supreme some of their achievements and creations, however impressive their powers of spirituality, of intellect, or of character, there has been in later developments an increasing subtlety, complexity, manifold development of knowledge and possibility in man's achievements, in his politics, society, life, science, metaphysics, knowledge of all kinds, art, literature. Even in his spiritual endeavor, less surprisingly lofty and less massive in power of spirituality than that of the ancients, there has been this increasing subtlety, plasticity, sounding of depths, extension of seeking. There have been faults from a high type of culture, a sharp temporary descent into a certain obscurantism, cessations of the spiritual urge, plunges into a barbaric natural materialism, but these are temporary phenomena. At worst, a downward curve of the spiral of progress. This progress has not indeed carried the race beyond itself into a self-exceeding, a transformation of the mental being, but that was not to be expected. For the action of evolutionary nature is a type of being, and consciousness is first to develop the type to its utmost capacity. By just such a subtilization and increasing complexity till it is ready for her bursting of the shell. The ripened decisive emergence, reversal, turning over of consciousness on itself, that constitutes a new stage in the evolution. If it be supposed that her next step is the spiritual and supramental being, the stress of spirituality in the race may be taken as a sign that that is nature's intention, the sign too of the capacity of man to operate in himself or aid her to operate the transition. If the appearance in the animal being of a type similar in some respects to the ape kind, but already from the beginning endowed with the elements of humanity, was the method of the human evolution, then the appearance in the human being of a spiritual type resembling mental animal humanity, but already with the stamp of the spiritual aspiration on it, would be the obvious method of nature for the evolutionary production of the spiritual and supramental being. So considering from this point of view, if you judge it from this point of view, we must ask the question whether mankind today, on a large scale, has become capable of entering into the spiritual age. And if the answer is yes, then the answer is that mankind has made a progress.